to Drive Guys, and we're at the Golden One, of course. 3:15, we're going to be joined by Kenyon Murray celebrating his birthday, and I'm sure still celebrating the big game that Keegan had here on Saturday. By the way, for some reason, we were just talking about Taylor Swift. Well, because Travis Kelce's in more commercials than anybody else this NFL season. Part of that is because of the Taylor Swift connection. So Jay asks, is Taylor Swift the most famous woman in the world right now? And the only one I can think of that might rival her fame is Morgan Reagan. And I mean, it's close, but that's the
yeah.
That's the biggest other star I can think of. Beyonce, maybe, I don't know.
She must be.
Taylor Swift must be the most famous woman in the world right now.
Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce make list of wealthiest celebrity couples. They have a combined net worth of $1.13 billion.
Hmm.
You want to know what Taylor Swift's net worth is?
$1.2 billion?
$1.1 billion. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Travis Kelce, he added a couple hundred thousand to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Jay-Z and Beyonce on that list, we were talking about, you know, famous women. And Beyonce's right up there. You know, Beyonce's probably 1A right behind Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And as RJ pointed out, unfortunately, you know, the Queen is no longer with us, and she obviously was a very high Q factor, so it must be Taylor Swift right now. And it's just, it's interesting the way that came to be, right? It just kind of happened just out of almost out of nowhere, where it's just like, yep, she's everything right now.
You can't say anything bad about Taylor Swift.
I didn't.
Not you. I'm just saying people in general.
Some say she's the Brock Purdy of pop
stars. No. She has
Which I agree with.
Success. She has, you know, she was the number one overall pick. Brock wasn't working at Radio Shack and then got drafted or anything like that, living in his mom's basement.
Right, you know, right. But like you never say anything bad about Brock, right?
Brock, I still got that jersey. My son wore it yesterday, actually. He put on the Brock Purdy jersey.
Good.
I kicked him out of the house when he threw it on. I said, get your butt. Hey, nope, not in this house. Oh, man. Taylor Swift, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Would you like one of our players to date Taylor Swift? Could you welcome that here in Sacramento? Would you be okay with that?
Well, on Media Day, I asked a bunch of them who was most likely to date Taylor Swift, and they all agreed. Even him. Even Malik said, oh, it's me. And everyone else said,
really?
Yeah, it's Malik. Yeah, he was like, he didn't hesitate. Okay. He goes, oh, that's me.
I knew he was my guy for a reason. All right. Yeah, all right. All right, Malik. Okay.
Yeah. Even Keegan said that. And, of course, Keegan had the big night on Saturday night. I'll tell you one thing that his huge game Saturday did not do is, and I mentioned this earlier, there was some talk that, oh, that's going to silence the trade talk. And let's be honest, there was reports that if Toronto talked to the Kings, they would probably ask about Keegan. But the Kings were never going to trade Keegan. And if they were even remotely considering it, they're certainly not after that game.
No, I think what we saw on Saturday is, you know, if I'm Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox and all them watching, that's the guy that we drafted number four. That's the guy we expected to be a part of the big three. That's the guy that we expect is going to be a cornerstone of this franchise for the next 10 years. And so, you know, it was a rocky start for Keegan, I think, to this season. But, man, you see the potential. You see the upside right there. And I think they're still being patient, you know. Like, there's no reason to rush out right now and make a big move and shake things up. The Kings are doing A-OK. They're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got Keegan Murray, and he's under club control.
Yep.
And, you know, reasonable salary for the foreseeable, and he's very productive, and that's perfect for a small market team. That's exactly what you hope for. It's like, wow, yes, we picked a guy with a fourth pick in his second year. He had 47. That's we can't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about some of these trade rumors out there, let's say the Pascals, the OG, let's talk about the financial aspect of it, if we will. The Zach LaVines. De'Aaron Fox is about to get an extension. He's going to get an extension that'll pay him $50 million a year. Domas is going to be making $40-plus million a year. I just don't view Sacramento as that team that's taking on these bad contracts of a Zach LaVine or overpaying Pascal Siakam or something like that. And so, to your point, I think Keegan Murray on that rookie contract is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we stand pat. Maybe we make some tweaks, Caruso or something, who's at $10 million. So, but the big name, big money, I just don't see it.
I'm glad you mentioned Domas. You just mentioned his name in passing.
Because, look, I understand why all the focus is on Keegan. Of course, it should be. It was incredible. But Domas scored 20 points on 10 shots.
Domas, yes.
He was 9 for 10 for 20 points and 10 rebounds and 8 assists. I mean, that's remarkable.
And he's been fantastic. And not only those numbers you mentioned, he set the tone, I thought, on Saturday night with 10 points in the first quarter. He came out ultra-aggressive. And then Keegan, you know, took over from there. But I thought Domantas Sabonis, especially with De'Aaron Fox out, that's what we need from him, mm-hmm. sort of the tone setter. He sets the tone for this team, and he's done a great job. 7 straight double-doubles, 18 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists his last 7 games.
I thought it was also great that there was no apparent sense of any desperation or trepidation given that they were without De'Aaron Fox. At no point in the game
right.
or before the game did it appear that, oh, boy, they're in trouble tonight and they know it.
Yeah.
They knew exactly what they had to do and they played Kings basketball.
And didn't it look, your last statement there, they played Kings basketball. Like, we knew De'Aaron Fox wasn't out there, but it didn't look and feel like De'Aaron Fox wasn't out there. They played their style of basketball. They played their brand of basketball. They moved it. They shot the three. They defended. Malik came in, you know, dropped some dimes. And so that's the sign of a good team is that no matter who's on the floor, you still look the same. Your system is still the same. You're still playing the same way, and we saw that the other night.
Yeah, they had 36 assists
wow.
on 46 made field goals. And they've I don't know what the highest percentage of field goals that are assisted is in the league, but they've been on a run lately where a very high percentage of their makes yeah. are all assisted. And that shows that the offense is clicking at a high level.
Yeah, 30 is the magic number, right? Teams want to get 30 or more assists. I do want to say, Harrison Barnes, this is what frustrates me about this whole Harrison Barnes
story. For the record, you're the one that brought him up, but okay.
Yeah, I'm bringing him up.
Gotcha.
Because
uh-huh.
when the guy scores 16,
mm-hmm.
nobody says anything.
You're right.
I haven't heard trade Harrison Barnes. I haven't heard, oh, HB got to go. We got to upgrade. It's crickets out there. Where's the Harrison Barnes slander at right now? Give the man some love. I thought Harrison Barnes was tremendous the other night.
He was, and he took 5 threes. And he made 3 of them. Yeah, that's
right.
And he had 4 rebounds.
So I just want to give
Solid.
Him some love. Give him his flowers instead of only talking about him
uh-huh.
after a bad game. You
so
know?
Maybe the Kings don't really need any major help. Maybe they don't need any major additions.
You said major help? I don't think they do. I think as we're growing, you're hoping Keegan becomes that major part. It may not be this year, maybe next year. But as you're slowly playing this out, I think they need, you know, maybe some minor tweaks. A guy like Caruso. Caruso comes in. He's not one of your top 3 or 4 players, but he gives you that toughness. He gives you that defense, ability to run the offense, knock down some shots. And so I don't think they need any major moves. Go out there and go get an all-star because you got your all-star growing right now. You know, Keegan Murray is like that flower right now. He's blooming. He's blossoming. Right now, you're putting in the nutrients, you're adding the water, and then, you know, second half of this year, next year, you'll have your all-star kind of player.
Yeah, and the other thing that you have to wonder about if you're talking about the Kings bringing in somebody like Zach LaVine or Siakam or who we were talking about Jeremy Grant last week, right?
Yeah.
Those guys need shots. They just need shots.
Right.
To be worth what you're going to pay them, they need a lot of shots. Well, on this team, that means you'd have to take shots from somebody else. Then you run the risk of undermining the whole offense that, as we just talked about, is very, very democratic, and it's been very effective. And so that's very risky, too.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and bringing in someone who is used to being the guy.
Yeah.
You know, like to your point, you know, that's used to shots.
We know who the guy is here.
Everybody
knows who the guy is.
Exactly. The pecking order is A-OK right now. And so you bring in a Zach LaVine. You bring in a Pascal Siakam. Are they going to be happy some nights getting 8 shots a night, 10 shots? Or do they want 15 to 17 to 18? And if you bring that other person in, Whitey, what does that do to Keegan Murray's development?
Yep. Great point. Do you think the Kings right now are satisfied with the way they're playing defense? Not talking about the players, but do you think Mike Brown and Monty, when they look at it, or do you really think they're able to say, I think we're doing pretty well in that area. We don't need to worry about that?
I don't buy that 100%.
I don't either. Yeah. And I'm sure Sam reported, and I'm sure he has reason to report it, And if someone told him that, then, yeah, that's good reporting. So I'm not questioning in any way his reporting. But I'm with you. I have a hard time believing that.
Right.
That they're totally feeling that way.
Feeling great. I mean, but the numbers indicate, what did we say, 14th, I think?
Yeah.
In defensive rating. But that could change next week. They could be back to 20th. And so I don't know what the real Kings team defense is, you know, in terms of their numbers, you know. And so when I look at it, I'm seeing the effort. I'm seeing the potential. But if you can go out there and get a 3-and-D guy, I think you do it because those don't grow on trees. I think every team would be interested in a 3-and-D guy.
You know, I was watching the Warriors last night so I could scout Jeremy Grant. He's a good shooter. He's a good defender.
Maybe does he need shots?
Throw in Matisse Thybulle. Would you be interested in anything like that?
Oh, you're throwing in Matisse Thybulle too now?
I was watching him, like, hey, he would help. He would help. Huh?
What do you get? What are you giving up though? Like,
you'd have to give up a lot.
You got
to
give up. You get Grant and Matisse. Oh my gosh! Now you're giving.
Don't you think he'd be a good fit here, Thybulle?
Yeah. I love Thybulle.
Yeah,
and he's shooting the three well.
Yes,
he's knocking down the three ball, and so that was the biggest knock on him. He's a tough, physical, long defender. I'd love Matisse Thybulle.
There was, as you well know, there was a lot of talk last year before the deadline that the Kings might be in the running for him. Nothing materialized. Nothing came close that we know of. But he still would be a good fit. Portland's going nowhere.
Look at you, man. I like your thinking on there.
Yeah.
Last week it was Jeremy Grant. This week, Matisse Thybulle. I think Matisse would be perfect for this team.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick timeout, and then when we come back, as promised, Keegan's dad, Kenyon Murray, what did he think of his boys' big night on Saturday? We'll find out next right here, Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Yes, we're back at the Golden One Center. Saturday was a very special night, and Kyle Draper arranged a very special guest for us to help us bask in the afterglow of Saturday night. Who'd you get for us, Kyle?
Man, first and foremost, I not only have a player's father, I got one of my good friends, a guy I admire. A guy who has counseled me from time to time. We've broken bread. The one and only Kenyon Murray, Keegan Murray's dad, joining us here on the Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports 1140. Before we get into your son, Kenyon, I got to wish you a happy 50th birthday, my man. The fact that you're spending it with us, spending a small part of it with us, man, that makes me feel good. Thanks for the love.
Oh, man, absolutely. Between you and my girls' basketball team that has practice in about an hour, hey, I wouldn't have it any other way.
that'd be Prairie High, right? And McKenna's, your daughter's got practice today? Yeah. Kenyon Murray, nice to join us. What do you make of the way Sacramento has embraced your son as one of their own?
Man, it's been, you know, I think first and foremost, we feel like Sacramento is just an extension of Iowa when it comes to the people and how, you know, how they treat them, how they treat the basketball team. It's very similar to what we experience here in Iowa. And, you know, for me, it's just super cool to see. Never thought that I would have a kid in the NBA. I mean, let's just be real about it. And then to have two, but then the way Sacramento has embraced Keegan has just been wonderful for us as a family, and they've embraced us too. So they definitely have embraced the whole family.
Kenyon Murray, you can follow him on all social media channels. Kenyon Murray, CEO of Murray Legacy Management, the Murray Foundation, and the host of Leave Your Legacy podcast. I'll ask you about that in a minute, but we got to go back to Saturday. Where were you Saturday night when Keegan was going off for 47, and what did you think?
Well, it was crazy. We're sitting in the living room because we were watching Portland on one TV and Sac on another TV. And the Portland game was over, so we tuned into Sac. And it was just McKenna, her boyfriend, Michelle, and I sitting there watching. And it was just crazy. And then McKenna finally goes, like, what the hell's going on right now? Like, it's just we've seen him go off, but it was just a different feeling to be able to do it on that stage at the highest level. Like, It was more awe than anything else, because all I can say to this day is wow. I mean, it was just wow for us as a family.
Kenyon, when did you first get the sense that Keegan was on his way to that big night? Kyle was there. Kyle said, you know, third quarter, that's really when he got hot. But you know your son like nobody else. When did you first get the sense that, okay, something really big is happening tonight?
Well, it was actually in the second quarter, and he made a three, and the camera panned to him. And I said to Michelle, I go, we've seen that look before. It was just, he let the ball go, and he made the space that he makes when I know he's like in a zone, and then we're like, yeah, it might be a 30-point night. I was like, yeah, he's going to get his career high, but I didn't think it'd be anything like that.
Kenyon, what did you text him afterwards, or what was that conversation like after the game?
Well, you know, Keegan's not one to talk a whole lot if he's not prompted by, you know, you guys in the media. So Michelle was like, hey, I'm going to try and FaceTime him. I'm like, honey, like he's probably doing, you know, media right now. And man, that dude picked up the phone so fast. So it was, he answered on like the first ring. So I was like, yeah, he really wants to talk about this one. But no, it was just, you know, it was one of those things where he embraced it. You know, I think he realized what he did, but he's not going to show it. You know, I think he always says, you know, I'll have time to enjoy all this stuff, you know, after I played in the league. But we tell him, like, enjoy the moments. You know, these things don't happen a lot. Enjoy the moments when you have them. But he's one of those guys, like, he'll celebrate for maybe an hour, and then it's back to the grind. And that's just how he's been able to be as successful as he has. And, you know, he'll be ready again to lace him up tonight and go again against the Wizards.
Catching up with Kenyon Murray, who, of course, was a star in his own right at Iowa, and he coached his sons. Kenyon, what do you think is the best basketball advice you ever gave Keegan?
Man, I think the best basketball advice I've ever given him is trust your work.
Mm-hmm. Explain that to me.
His brother both.
Yeah,
he and his brother have always put work in the gym. You know, for a long time, they'd work their tails off, and they didn't really see the benefits, whether it was in the weight room or from recruiting. And we kind of know their story as far as, you know, the path they had to get to the NBA. But I always said, always trust the work. Like, you have worked on this move or that move so many times. You've put in more hours than probably, you know, the next five guys to you. So whether you're having a bad night shooting or whatever it is, like, just trust the work that you put in, because you've got a very solid foundation. And so I think, you know, the funny thing about trusting the work is that last three on the 12th three, I remember us during the pandemic, we had a friend who had a gym in our house, and we were able to use it. And we worked on that jab step three, like, for hours. And I saw that, and I was like, yep. That's the COVID three right there. That's the COVID jab step that we worked on. So a lot of what he does goes back to what we started when he and his brother were in seventh and eighth grade. And obviously now it's enabled them to play at the level that they're playing.
Kenyon Murray joining us here, father of Keegan Murray and Chris Murray, who's with the Portland Trail Blazers. Kenyon, I remember one time, you know, whether it was text or we were sitting down, you said Keegan was just scratching the surface of what he could do. This was last season. What did you mean by that, and what can fans expect to see? Where can we expect to see that growth this season?
Well, I think more than anything, he was a ball dominant guard growing up because he was small. So he played, you know, point guard, shooting guard. But then when he got to Iowa, you know, it was more playing off the ball, cutting, things like that. And so I felt like his ball handling might have taken a step back from where it was when he was younger. And so, I think scratching the surface for him, and we've seen a lot of glimpses of it this year, is, you know, his ability to handle the ball, to make plays off the dribble. You've seen him get into his float game. You've seen him get into his fadeaway. And I think athletically, you know, for him to be able to increase his vertical jump, put on 10 pounds like he did last year, I think he increased his vertical jump by almost 4 inches in the offseason. That, to me, tells me that there's still more there that's coming. So I think from a physical standpoint and a skill standpoint, you're just going to continue to see him get better and better. And that's what it's about. It's like, what did I do good last year? Okay, I don't want to be known as just a three-point shooter. You know, working with Foxy and everything that way. I just think that when he continues to improve on those little things, even in his footwork and maybe his explosion a little bit, like, you'll see him become something that, frankly, not a lot of people thought that he could become. And that's what I mean by scratching the surface. I think he's still got a lot of room to grow physically as well as skill-wise.
And what have you seen from your son in terms of Keegan's development at the defensive end?
Oh man, it's funny. He's in press conferences, and I'm like, man, that sounds like me. Like that's what I used to say when you know when it came to you know just the preparation to play defense. You know, I didn't play at the NBA level, but in the Big Ten, I played against NBA caliber players all the time. And one of the things I always told Keegan is like, you know, if you can establish yourself as a two-way player, first in college, you know, you'll have a chance to be successful. And I think Coach Brown sees the ability in him. I really, as I watch Keegan, I go back to there's some times where he reminds me of a guy like Scottie Pippen, just with his length, being able to guard multiple positions. I think defensively, he's still got a lot of room to grow there as he learns, you know, angles and, you know, being in the league, you know, for a few more years, you know, you tend to get some more calls maybe on the defensive end. So I'm just so proud of him that he hasn't settled in being just an okay defender. Like he really wants to be that guy that locks the other team's best player down. And yeah, from a defensive minded coach and dad like me, I'm super excited to see him make strides on that end of the floor.
So you're cool with Mike Brown pushing him the way he is and then asking him to guard the Steph Currys, the Donovan Mitchells of the world?
Yeah, because I couldn't get him to play defense in high school. So I'm glad anybody's got him to play defense at the level he is now. So, but, you know, all kidding aside, yeah, I think Coach Brown has been great for him. He's always had tough coaches. I mean, he had me. He had Coach McCaffrey, who was really tough on him. But, you know, but in that, too, he had coaches that – understood what his potential was, and they allowed him to play his game. And you can kind of see that this year with Coach Brown really allowing him to play his game within the confines of their offense, which is unbelievable with the guys around him.
Kenyon, I know you said Keegan was anxious to talk to everybody at home Saturday, and this is kind of personal. I understand if you don't want to answer, but he's in the second year as an NBA player now. Does he call home as much? Does he need your help with things as much, or is he starting to get it all figured out, all that adult stuff, being on his own now in California?
No, all the adulting stuff Mom and I still take care of. You know, the most important thing for him and Chris is – To focus on their profession. You know, their job right now is to put everything they can to be the best basketball players they can be. And for Mom, for Michelle and I to be able to, you know, take that load off of them while they concentrate on the things that they need to concentrate on, it's fine. You know, as parents, we want to, you know, we don't like the kids leaving the nest. We know it's part of, you know, growing up and becoming an adult. But I think in this situation, we're happy, very happy to be able to still be there when he needs us. If Michelle needs to fly out for anything, she can do that. Because it's all about being there for our kids and helping them be in the best situation for these guys on and off the floor.
Well, you guys doing a fantastic job, Kenyon, you and Michelle. You know, when I look at, you know, Keegan and the way he plays and his demeanor, you know, it wasn't always like that, was it? You've told the story a few times, you know, because I think back to, you know, some of the early season struggles he had, knocking down the shots and things like that. You told me maybe in the past he would get down on himself. How do you think he's handled it now as a professional?
You know, when he was struggling, I said to him, I said, you know, what do you feel? He's like, well, I feel like they're going in, you know. I don't think he ever lost confidence, because the one thing we talked about is I said, realize this, you're playing defense at a higher level than you've ever had. I go, you're picking guys up full court. I mean, you play Golden State, you're guarding Steph, then Clay, then Draymond, then Wiggins, then Chris Paul when he comes in. I go, that's hard to do. And so I said, you got to realize you're using your legs more than you have in the past. So just make the adjustment. I was like, if you feel like everything's the same, but I see from your legs and your shot, like you're not using your legs. You're not getting your elbow up. So that's where, like you said earlier, I was like, hey, go back to the work. Like, remember what the foundation is. Remember, we talked about these adjustments that you have to make in the game. So I think I don't think he was ever down on himself. And obviously his teammates weren't down on him. I just think he felt like, hey, it's going to come. But I still need to figure out how I can be the best Keegan Murray on both ends of the floor. And I think we're starting to see that he's figuring that out, and he's combining both unbelievable defensive games with great shooting nights and offensive games for the Kings.
Kenyon, before I let you get out of here, man, I want to give a plug to your Leave Your Legacy podcast. I know you're doing some big things with that. Explain to the people what it is and what's next for you guys.
Man, it's been a crazy, crazy year for the Leave Your Legacy podcast. You know, we started it kind of as a sports podcast. The people we were working with, they had done some NIL stuff with Chris and Keegan, and that's kind of how it got started. But we've been so fortunate that within the last year, we actually got picked up by a new streaming network on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So it's no longer the Leave Your Legacy podcast. It's the Leave Your Legacy show, and we're available on Bravehearts TV. And Bravehearts is an unbelievable platform for us because the programming that they have on there, they want it to be uplifting and inspiring programming, faith-based, whatever. We want to be able to put positive programming in the world, and where I feel like our show is great at, it's telling other people's story. You know, Kyle, I had you on the podcast, and it was really about having conversations, open conversations, people learning about Kyle Draper in a different way than maybe they didn't. I had one guest on, his mom actually messaged and said, "Hey, I learned something new about my son on your podcast today." So the Legacy, Leave a Legacy podcast is really about creating a platform where people that are doing great things in their own right can talk about it. And I told you, Kyle, too, you know, everybody has a legacy, regardless of where you live, where you grew up, your schooling, whatever your profession is. There are people that are looking to you for leadership to help guide them, and you're leaving a legacy for someone. And so I just want to be able to share people's stories and get them out there. So it's been a phenomenal year for us. I've got a great team, a production team behind me, and I think big things are coming for us in the future as well.
Kenyon Murray, we know you have better things to do on your birthday than talk with us. So we appreciate it very, very much. Thank you for your time. Hope to talk to you again soon. Enjoy the game tonight, sir.
I will. I'll see you, Kyle. I'll be out there on the 23rd. So if you're around, hopefully I can catch up with you.
Yeah, we'll get together. And then I'm going to Portland too, man. So I know that's family time,
nice.
But I'll be there too.
Yeah.
So I'll see you then. Okay.
Yep. The whole family will be in Portland. So it'll be a fun night.
All right, Kenya. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate you.
All right, have a good day, fellas.
Take care. Appreciate it. What Keegan's big night means for the Kings' plans for this season and beyond when we come back to the Golden One Center. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. Kenyon Murray, Keegan's dad, great interview. That was really interesting and enjoyable. And you could just feel the pride that he felt. But in a way, I mean, Kenyon seemed kind of unflappable like his son.
Right? Yeah,
Well, that's what he'd been training to do. He had a big game, and really interesting that they knew it was coming by the look on Keegan's face in the second quarter.
And the fact that, you know, they're sitting at home, you turn to your wife, Michelle. Yep, that right there, I seen that before.
Yeah.
And then he
goes
and follows it up and delivers. It's truly amazing. And then to have two sons in the NBA, you got to be doing something right.
Right.
You got to be doing something right.
Right. Speaking of doing things right, do you have all your shopping done yet for Christmas? Everything done?
Not at all. I'm a last-two-week shopper.
But aren't you, like, going to Portland or something?
We leave Christmas night. Christmas. So I got Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
I will be shopping Sunday, Christmas Eve. I will be out shopping as well.
All right.
Because
I'm
the type, you know, the kids make a list and everything, but I don't care about their darn list. Like, if I'm out and I see something, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'll buy it. But their list.
Yeah. Hey, put this on your list because that's what you're getting.
Their list is not for me and my wife. Their list is for Santa.
Sure.
Claus. Yeah. Their list is for Santa Claus. That's their list. It's not the list for mom and dad. Here you go, mom and dad. Here's my list. No, this is a list. Tell Santa what you want. That's what that's about.
Well, we got something for you. It's a season of giving. We just played Red Hot Chili Peppers. We're going to give it away now. Here's what we have.
Okay.
We have a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube and a $100 gift certificate to Vieira Farms towards a Christmas tree purchase, because Vieira Farms, Jiffy Lube, teamed up with Sacktown Sports for holiday season. Get you hooked up with, as I say, $100 gift certificate towards your perfect Christmas tree and a $100 gift certificate to winterize your vehicle at participating Jiffy Lube locations. Let's see here. Give us a number, Kyle, and we get the caller number. Caller number 9. Caller 9, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Thank you for listening. Good luck. Thanks, Fiera Farms and Jiffy Lube. What do you think Keegan's big night means for the Kings thinking this year and beyond? Does it change everything, or was it a matter of, well, that's what he's here for, as Mike Brown likes to say. That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do.
Oh, you're asking me. No, you know, when I look at what Keegan Murray did the other night, I don't think the Kings were getting impatient with him or maybe not believing in him. And so if he didn't have that night, uh-oh, we got to go out there and get somebody. We got to get a Zach LaVine. I don't think that was the thing.
I agree.
I do think that big night showed them, reiterated to them, firmed up their belief in him, like, yep, we're on the right track. Mm-hmm. Everything is good. We're good. I mean, think about this. 47 points. We haven't seen that from Domantas Sabonis. We haven't seen that from De'Aaron Fox. We're talking about
incredible.
Two stars haven't had a night like what we saw from Keegan Murray. And so if anything, if I'm Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, I'm, you know, my belief in Keegan is even stronger right now that, you know what, we got to be patient. Let this guy marinate, let him grow, and he'll be that star we need.
As much potential as Keegan has, and given where they picked him, you know that they were prepared to be, and still are prepared to be, extremely patient. You know,
right.
A couple years. And this was just, as you say, confirmation that, he's a player now.
Yes.
He's been playing really well since he came back from the back injury,
yep.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he has. He's been playing extremely well. And I want to put this out there, Whitey, because a lot of times I'll say things, and 99.9% of the time I'm talking about what I would do or how I would react. Me and Monty McNair are two entirely different people. I'm more reactionary. Uh-oh, sky is falling. We need to do something. Monty McNair is the total opposite. He doesn't ride the roller coaster that we as fans ride. You know, he's more measured, and you got to be in that position.
Right.
And that's why he has the job he has. And so, you know, last week, 2 weeks ago, when I said Keegan has to do this, that's me saying, you know what? I want this for this guy. I think he can do it. We went into this season not talking about De'Aaron Fox, not talking about Domantas Sabonis. We said the key to the season was Keegan Murray. This team goes as far as his development takes us. And that hasn't changed. And we saw how great he could be. And so I know we got the trade deadline coming up in about 2 months, a little less than 2 months. But what I saw Saturday, to me, should just be the start of big things to come for Keegan.
I think it's totally fair, and it's pro sports. It's not always fair. But when you looked at the Kings' plan for this season, how do they get better? They didn't go out and get a lot of new guys. You look at what some of the other teams in the conference did. They tried to get better by bringing in big-name players in some cases. Kings didn't do that. So how do you get better? One of the ways you get better is Keegan Murray gets better. That was part
right.
of the plan. So it was fair to point out. I think we had Mark Spears on. When was that? That was after the New Orleans loss.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Keegan's got to get better, and we haven't seen it yet. Well, we've seen it now. That was fair, and that was true.
Yep.
And he had been improving gradually here, coming back from the back injury, and then boom. So it's just confirmation that, yeah, as far as counting on Keegan to help your team get better by improving himself, that's a good plan, and right now it's working.
It's working, but, you know, we've talked about it before, and the coaches want this. The players want this. They don't want Keegan to defer to De'Aaron Fox. Like, I would love – this is what I want. This is what I want from Keegan Murray. I want one game, not even one game, but at least show me this one game where De'Aaron Fox is healthy and you go off for 33 when you're the best player on the floor. We know De'Aaron Fox can score. We know he's all NBA. He can get you 40. I understand that. But we're talking about the development of this team and of this franchise and making a deep playoff run. It should not have to be on De'Aaron every night to be the leading scorer. He can do it, yes. But in terms of where we want to get to, I would love to see Keegan one night with De'Aaron out there be the guy.
Well, it's going to be interesting if Keegan is having a night like he had on Saturday, on a night when De'Aaron Fox is playing, which may not be tonight. It'll be interesting to see if De'Aaron recognizes that and says, okay, I'm gonna be a point guard now. I'm setting him up. You know, I don't think he really has had the opportunity to do that yet. It'll be interesting to see what he does when we get to that crossroads. And it appears to be inevitable. When we come right back here, hey, the 49ers, can they count on an arch rival for some help tonight? Big game for Drapes Club tonight. Next from the Golden One, Sacktown Sports. Kevin Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper from the Golden One Center. And Kyle Draper's got the play-by-play tonight as the Kings take on the always pesky Washington Wizards and Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole, old nemesis, Golden State Warrior, former. You know what's interesting about Jordan Poole? Remember when he got traded there? We were like, oh, man, it's going to be Jordan Poole season. He's going to go off. His numbers are worse this year than they were last year as a member of the Warriors. And he's actually taking fewer shot attempts. I thought he'd be taking like 22, 23. He's actually taking fewer shot attempts per game this year than he did last year with Golden State.
Really shooting the ball poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30% from three, yeah.
Yeah, so you got Kyle Kuzma leading the way and Jordan Poole. I really think the Wizards bailed out the Warriors by taking Poole. And then I know the Warriors got Paul. And is that a good fit? I don't know. But I think getting out from under
that
the big deal they gave him, when they gave him that big contract before they had to, I don't know why they did. Maybe the punch had something to do with it.
Right.
You know, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, Kings don't have to worry about that. You know, there was a time when they were like the Wizards, right? Just limping around from city to city.
Yeah.
It's nice to be the hammer, not the nail.
15-9 on the season, Sacramento. They win tonight, their best 25-game start since 04-05.
Wow.
I think it is. I mean, think about that.
Yes, like, yes.
And it's crazy because the narrative around this team last week this time was like, oh, man, uh-oh, we've got to make a deal.
Guilty. Yeah,
it's like,
guilty.
You know, but here we are, you know, 15-9, hopefully 16-9. If we said that before the season, we'd take that. We'd be okay with that.
I'm going to ask you a question. There may not be a good answer to it, so it's okay if you're like, eh, I haven't really noticed anything, but I'm just curious because I was not in this building as often last year, of course. Is the vibe in the building, is it any different from last year? Again, you may say, no, not really. You know, last year was just everything was so new and like, wow, they're actually good. This year, to the point you just made, expectations are different. Do you sense any difference in the building during
Yes, I do, 100%.
Really? Yeah?
I sense how should I put this? Because the expectations are so high, the fan base has a shorter leash, a shorter tolerance for poor play.
Wow.
If you will.
Uh-huh.
And we see it, obviously, on our show here, the YouTube chat and the callers. You know, these fans now are expecting high-level basketball. And when they don't deliver it, you can feel it palpably. Before, you know, last season, everybody, oh, you know, we're happy. Like the loss to Washington, the loss at home to the Sixers, Charlotte, you know. If that happened this year, like the whole vibe would be entirely different. Mm-hmm. Last year, we tolerated it. Mm-hmm. All right, we're not there yet. This year, people expect this team to be a top four team in the Western Conference, to be a playoff team, you know. And I think the fans, you know, in this building, they expect them to play well night in and night out, whereas, you know how it is in previous years.
We'll take anything.
Yeah, we'll take anything. You know, give us a good quarter.
Yeah.
We'll take a good quarter out of it. Now, I think this, you feel it definitely in this building. And, you know, hopefully they don't come out flat tonight, but I think it's a shorter fuse when it comes to the fan base right now.
Emidrock on the chat has this question. Now that we know that Keegan can produce, would it be too much to ask / expect this every night? Obviously 47.
Expect what? I know. What are we?
I don't think you're talking about 47 every night.
What are we talking about? No, but I don't think, and I said it last week, I said it 2 weeks ago, and people got on my case. Drapes, he's a second-year player. Drapes, he's playing defense. Blah, 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 blah. So what? You're Keegan Murray. You're the number four overall pick. I want him to be great night in and the night out. And I don't think that's too much to ask. 47, yes. But I can't get 20? I can't get 18?
18 a
Give
night.
Give me 18? I can't.
Excellent, I can't, right?
He came. He was averaging 12 points per game last week this time. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think he can be an 18-point-per-game scorer. Think about it.
How about this?
It's not that hard, Whitey, to score 18 for Keegan Murray in the NBA.
From Scooter 916. But, and it is no coincidence that he had that big night on a night when Fox didn't play, so there were just a lot more shots for everybody. Do we actually feel like they are a top-four team realistically, or do we just want them to be that? Right now the Kings are fifth in the conference, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's talk about the Western Conference really quickly here when you look at it. Where you finish and what you really are, to me, are two different things. So think about it right now. For instance, what's Denver's record, Whitey? I see you pulling it up right now.
Denver right now is fourth in the conference at 17-10, and the Kings are, they're just a half game ahead of the 15-9 Kings.
Who's six?
Six is the Clippers, who have won seven in a row and are 15-10.
If we were doing a power rankings and not necessarily going by the standings, Denver would probably be number one. Are the Kings better than any of the top four teams? I think Dallas is still – is Dallas number three, right?
Yes, you're correct.
Right.
It goes Minnesota, OKC, Dallas, Denver.
Why can't we be better than Dallas this season? And so, Scooter, to your point, yes, this team can be a top four team in the Western Conference when you look at it. When it's all said and done, I expect Denver to be up there. I think Minnesota's the real deal. I think Sacramento's on the same level as OKC. I think they're better than Dallas. The Lakers, I don't know what's going on with them. They're up and down. The Clippers are coming on. Why can't the Kings be a top four team in the Western Conference? And mind you, they're 15-9 with some bad losses.
Right, right.
A couple of games, like, they should have beat Houston once. They should have beat the Pelicans at least once. Think about that. This team is 15-9, but really they should be 17-7, let's say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but you are what you are. By the way, something to keep an eye on. I get the sense that things are kind of normalizing now in the NBA, and the better teams are starting to warm up a little bit. Minnesota's won two in a row. Kings have won two in a row. The Clippers have won seven in a row. Pelicans have won four in a row, and at the top of the other conference, Boston's won five in a row. Bucks have won four in a row. 76ers have won six in a row. So just something to keep an eye on. And, of course, the Pistons have still lost 23 in a row.
When do we get to face them? You know, where are they at? I need a couple of games against Detroit right now. That'd be sweet.
switching gears real quick. We'll get back to the Kings and all this Zach LaVine stuff, top of the hour. But the 49ers tonight have the night off. They can enjoy it. Hopefully watch the Seahawks and the Eagles. A big game for the 49ers. Obviously, they're hoping that the Seahawks can put a dent in Phillies.
So
number one,
the Niners are cheering for the Seahawks tonight?
Like, I would
Niners
think they would. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I want to hear a Niners fan actually admit that. I need to record that and save it up for a rainy day, right?
I can't speak for everybody, but I think that's the smart play.
Yeah, I think so, because even if the Seahawks win, you got the division already. You know, they're no threat to you. The only team, you know, right now that can catch you, because, you know, with Dallas losing, you basically and essentially have a two-game lead over them
right.
for the number one
right.
spot, because you beat them mm-hmm. in the head-to-head. And so you Eagles lose tonight, you have a two-game lead over them,
yes.
essentially.
Yes.
And so that number one seed becomes, you know,
you
more real.
Yeah.
You
might, realistically, you might need two games over them right now.
I'm not saying anything.
No, I know. I understand. No, because
but, no, the Eagles schedule is so light.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
so light. You got Baltimore. You got who? The Rams still on the schedule. And so, no, this is a massive game tonight for Philly and San Francisco.
Yeah. And your team has a new defensive coordinator tonight. Any thoughts on that?
I don't
know. Sirianni said last week, no, I don't think we're going to make any changes in our coaching staff. Well, they did.
Who, Matt Patricia?
Yeah, Matt Patricia is the defensive coordinator.
Former New England Patriot.
Uh-huh.
Matt
former
Patricia.
Detroit Lion head coach.
Yeah. No, you know what? I like it, you know, because he is a defensive guy. What the problem he had in New England was that they had him calling the offense. They made him offensive coordinator. And I'm just like, wait, what are we doing here?
I know.
But, no, hopefully this is the Steve Wilkes move of moving from the booth to the field, have that kind of effect on the team. And so,
they definitely
this should
need
be a fun,
something.
We need something.
to turn things around defensively.
Yes, we need something. This is the Eagles season right here.
Yeah.
And I'm talking playoffs too, Whitey.
I think the Seahawks aren't as good as Eagles, but this is their season tonight.
This is 100% their season. They lose this, they're done, right? They're pretty much done. Meanwhile, Philly, I don't like the Eagles' chances of potentially having to go into Santa Clara and beat the Niners. I don't like that. So you got to get this one tonight.
When we come right back, Zach LaVine, is he really on the Kings' radar? Why people are talking about Zach LaVine and the Kings next from the Golden One. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.